Welcome back. You're watching Stockwatch with me, Juliette Tilevi. And joining me in studio this evening are David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities and Wayne McCurry from F&B Wealth and Investments. If you'd like to send us questions, please do. You can SMS 41392. You can email stockwatch at bdtv.co.za, or you can tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. David, Wayne, it's...
Yes, should have a health warning tonight.
Yeah, I know. Yes. It's,
we should
it's
just have
ugly
a banner at the bottom.
I mean, okay, so we're down 2.4%. U.S. markets are being
trashed.
And how do you explain to someone sitting who maybe opens the newspaper tomorrow morning, has a look at the stocks pages, or looks at their watch list and says, wow, what is going on? And then someone says it's the inverted yield curve.
Oh, yes.
Which came first?
The inverted yield curve wasn't there yesterday. Yesterday it was Trump and trade. Today it's the inverted yield curve. I'll let Wayne can explain.
Okay. Now, the inverted yield curve is a very fancy word for restrictive monetary stance. In other words, short-term interest rates are higher than long-term interest rates. In other words, the cost of money is expensive.
Okay, relatively speaking.
Relatively speaking, one against the other. Okay. Now, when the yield curve has inverted on every other previous occasion, name them,
2007.
You're in a recession. You're going into a recession. And on not everyone, but the overwhelming majority of previous occasions when this has happened, the stock market's fallen 40% plus. So now this is the big scare out there, inverted yield curve. Okay, but let's now once again look at things in context. Okay. All previous occasions other than this one, the yield curve went inverted. Okay. What drives the yield curve? The yield curve is not a separate thing. It's the underlying conditions that causes an inversion. So every other occasion, the underlying conditions were quite simple. Strongly rising inflation with strongly rising short-term interest rates. So in other words, interest rates, the short-term rates were going, they went higher than the long-term interest rates. It was the actual level of the short-term interest rates that caused the recession. It wasn't the inversion. The inversion is a reflection of what's happening. It is not a thing on its own. It's a separate animal.
Yeah, because it sounds like it's the way kind of financial news channels are putting it out there.
It's not a separate animal. Now, what's caused the current inversion?
You should never ask this question.
What's caused the current inversion is that the long bond rates have fallen. Short rates aren't going up, they're going down. So inflation ain't going up, it's going down. So the underlying conditions that have caused this are vastly different to previous occasions. But I want to make no mistake in saying, it is signaling worse times ahead. I just doubt if it's signaling a fully blown recession or a 40% fall in the stock market. Only Trump can do that.
Well, and he seems hell-bent
on it. Only Trump can do that.
And he's tweeting now today saying the Fed,
hiked
rates, they reacted too slowly and now they're not cutting fast enough.
You won't blame himself.
No, obviously not.
Okay. The reason we're in this kind of position is because it's a self-inflicted wound over trade wars.
Yes,
this is starting to hurt the global economy, including China,
and
Europe and so on. And the U.S. So he's got to pull himself out of this downward spiral because we're going into an election year next year. He cannot afford to have a falling stock market or a slowing economy.
And I think that will be the key.
But just on what Wayne said, and I think it's important, because when he said that short rates go up, he was talking about 3, 4, 5, 6%. Today, your short rate, it's 1.59 or 1.6, and your tenure is 1.6. So you're not talking
about completely different circumstances. It's not good news. I mean, I want to stress that this is clearly not good news, but it is vastly different in context in the underlying economy than what it has been in the past.
The thing is, for a South African investor, you can say, well, finally, you know, we're not alone in being sold off. But if there is a recession, is there more weakness to be had in SA Inc. stocks?
Yes.
Because we are already down. I mean, so many South African favorites are being hammered. They're down more than 50% from their highs.
Look, you can go to zero, you know.
I didn't think that was serious, but actually it feels like it.
In previous times like this with the dreaded word inversion yield curve, share market's been significantly more expensive than what it is now. And remember, the yield curve didn't cause a recession. The yield curve reflected a recession. Yeah. It didn't cause it.
But I think what is working out is that Jay Powell has to respond to the nervousness and anxiety in markets, and he'll have to cut for all the wrong reasons. He's been forced into this position, which should never have happened in the first place.
If he's an independent,
well, if he does it, then you're going to get.
The economy is slowing down. It might be slowing down. Look, it was slowing down before Donald Trump started trade wars. Trade wars has just exacerbated it dramatically. It just accelerated the slowdown dramatically.
Yeah.
But he will cut because the economy is slowing and there's no inflation. And maybe that is the true underlying saving grace. I'm not saying the market can't fall, but there's no danger of inflation, yeah? And also there's no financial bubble. There's no debt bubble in the financial system, in the banks. There's no debt bubble in the consumers. Big debt bubble in governments. But there's no consumer debt bubble like the previous one where the inverted yield curve burst the bubble.
Okay, if we could look at some South African stocks, one of the shares that was horrifically down today and has been for a few days is Aspen. Mm-hmm. We could talk about Discovery in a bit. Aspen below 70 Rand. Mm. I mean, that is agony if you bought shares of 440 Rand a share. And the question, well, the email that came through earlier said, I'm of the opinion that Aspen can't survive without a rights issue. I'm also of the opinion that Brait, Netcare, Discovery and Sasol will need to do rights issues this year. What are your thoughts?
Okay. Well, I suppose let's start off with Aspen. They did the big sale of a couple of businesses now. They have got cash in. But a rights issue, to be honest, is probably on the cards for Aspen.
I mean, is that reflected in the price already?
I think the rights issue is on the cards for Aspen.
Let's see what the results are. But this is point. You know what? You have to watch the market. The market gives a hint of what's coming. I don't know how it works because generally it's not insider trading, but information does leak. People put issues together to come to some kind of conclusion. That's why I love to know the reason why markets have fallen. Aspen was holding very strongly at 95, 100 after the shock that we had recently with the levels of debt and also the poorer performance of some of their acquisitions. But they have got very high debt. And what this is pointing to is perhaps those deals, you know, the acquisitions that they made are not generating the kind of cash that they need. They may have to go back to the market. Mm. But if you looked at Omnia and you saw the price that you have to issue stock at, it will be at a deep, deep discount to where we are now, if they have to come. And that will apply to all the other shares as well.
What about Discovery? Because you were tweeting, I mean, you know, yesterday we saw Discovery, so it was yesterday that it fell.
Well,
it was Friday, you know,
today.
I mean, you have pointed out, and we've actually talked about it on the show, Discovery has been falling for a while now.
Yeah.
But they did a rights issue in November
last year, just to give you an idea. They raised 11 billion rand in November last year at 160. Mm-hmm. Okay, at 160. In fact, management themselves took, I think, 1.4 million shares. They put a huge amount of money in. Three of the top managers there. So that was at 160 back in November. We're now down below 100 at 100.
Understand Discovery has fallen because of NHI.
Is it?
They might need capital because of the bank. They might need capital because of the bank. But this last 20% fall is NHI. Definitively.
But they've been falling before that. Yes. There might be NHI. Might be setting
up. NHI is a scare story. David and I will be dead before NHI comes about.
That's my point.
So far down the track.
My point is that I don't believe it's going to happen, even though President Ramaphosa reckons it's there to stay.
Yeah, he dug in today.
We haven't got the money.
He said it's going nowhere, which may have been an interesting choice of words.
I mean, you must understand, NHR is a political thing. There's got to be some public display of support. There's got to be shown to be some action. But understand, it's not coming immediately. And it's not coming in the format proposed either.
Well, it will truly
decimate healthcare in South Africa, and it's unaffordable. So it simply can't happen. Okay, but let's put that aside. Discovery may need capital because of the bank. The bank is chewing capital massively.
Hmm.
I think if you look at Discovery's results, if you go through them, they generate earnings from three businesses.
But not cash.
No cash. The problem is that They're building up all these other businesses, which at the moment haven't come anywhere close to creating the kind of earnings that the other businesses have, life, health, investment.
And the international
and international, yeah. Well, UK is doing okay. So they need to keep feeding that. The Rand's 1580, I think I would imagine that a lot of the money that they feed it with or build it up comes from here. So they have got those issues. Now they've got the bank on the horizon, which is also chewing up cash. Where do they find this from? Mm. And I think that also with an economy that's slowing down, there's going to be pressure on the local businesses that have been behind the growth that we've seen in Discovery.
Yeah. And what about Netcare and Sasol? Do you think, and Brait? Do you think they'd also need rights
issues? Okay, Brait, I don't know. Brait, you cannot do a rights issue at these discounts. I mean, maybe you're forced to. More than likely, on Brait, they'll just unbundle it.
No, they're trying to sell assets or sell minorities.
Look, they've only really got the SA food business and Virgin.
Yeah.
They've got Premier and Virgin. And Virgin is by far the biggest. And you'll get some money for Virgin. So Brait will just unbundle or split. They won't do a rights issue. Netcare, I don't know. I actually don't know. Sasol, quite possible they'll pass the divvy. But Sasol's at the peak of their negative cash flows. I mean, it's not as though they've got continuous negative cash flows forever. You know, in a year's time, they'll actually generate serious positive cash flows. So for Sasol, the worst will be don't pay the divvy. Mm. Save the capital, don't pay the divvy.
Yeah.
The pace at which we've seen the sell-off in these shares has been astonishing.
Yeah.
The cavalry hasn't come. There's been no cash behind it to help save it. So, you know, the question that we're asked all the time is this the bottom? And I'm saying, when you start to see days like we had today where some of the shares are falling 5, 6, 7, 8%, it's not the time to come in and try and save the business. Just wait and let it settle down. Let it find a bottom. Mm. And form that bottom.
But there's some properly cheap shares out there.
I mean, you know, because there's two comments. So the one is, Mr. Shapiro, you were right. SA Inc. is finished. Invest offshore. Any other investment tips? And Wayne, why are you so bullish on South Africa? What is everyone else missing?
No, look, the shares are just cheap. Mm-hmm. The shares are just cheap. I mean, some of the shares now are as cheap as what they were at the peak of the global financial crisis.
I mean,
so they're discounting massively bad news. I mean, understand, I'm only bullish on South African shares simply because of the valuation and the belief that we will eventually get better. I won't say we'll get, you know, we'll be fantastic. We will just get better than what we were. So it still won't be good. It'll just be better. Mm. So those two combinations, and these things are cyclical. They are cyclical.
You know, in fact, Pete Fulyuna was tweeting a little bit earlier about how he was invited to an investment conference a couple of years, I don't know, 4 years ago. And everyone at the conference, and they were asked to name stock picks, and he picked Implats, Impala Platinum, and was laughed at, and everyone picked Aspen.
Yeah.
You know, and at the time, it was very uncomfortable, and everyone said, geez, these platinum shares are finished, but, you know, and they're
dead.
Well, look, so
think back.
One has to remember these calls.
End of the 1990s, South Africa was dead. Take as much money as you possibly can overseas. We are dead and buried and finished. And you got the subsequent 10 years, we outperformed the American share market by 350% in dollars. We had the strongest period of economic growth. Now, I'm not for a moment saying it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. All that I'm saying is, in 1999, you didn't in your wildest dream envisage that happen. Mm-hmm. That there was consistent belief, take your money overseas. Our share market had been terrible for 10 years. The US was just going through the roof. In 10 years, our currency was finished. It was at 12 or 13 against the dollar. It took 11 years to come back to 12. It first went to 650, then back to 12.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if you, and it's the same when you're at the peak, you cannot see situation changing. You can't envisage it in your wildest dreams, and yet it does change.
Yeah. Okay.
I think just afterwards, just have a look at the longer term chart in Implats. It'll give you an idea of the kind of journey that you go through in those businesses.
Yeah. Yes, it's hair-raising.
Yeah.
Let's leave it there for the moment. If you'd like to send questions, please do SMS us or email us or tweet us, and we'll be back shortly. Welcome back. Let's have a look at the U.S. horror show. The S&P down 2.2%, the Nasdaq down 2.5%, and the Dow Jones trading 2.2% weaker. In fact, that is a slight improvement from where it was. I think the S&P was down about 2.7%. It was down 2.9% at one stage, so it is recovering somewhat. And across the Atlantic, you probably haven't been able to take part in that recovery. The FTSE 100 down 1.4%, the CAC 40 down 2%, and the DAX 2.2% weaker. We closed 2.4% lower. Still with me in studio are David Shapiro from Sasfin and Wayne McCurry from F&B Wealth and Investments. So there was another question asking about your secret, David, to being so happy and chipper, despite the state of the South African economy. And on top of this, he's a loyal Arsenal supporter. I mean, surely
trained. Arsenal has trained him to be cheerful during
bad. Suffered disappointment.
Yeah, he suffered severe disappointment.
Is it your Ferrari shares that keep you
glowing? They're still doing well.
Glowing.
They are. They're still doing. They're 60% up this year. And I watch them every day. And they're holding. In fact, even today, I don't think they're down very slightly in the U.S. and that. So it's just that people just buy this. You know, really rich Asians, Arabs, you name them, Europeans, and just keep buying these ridiculously
Arsenal footballers, for example. Mm.
I've never even looked inside a Ferrari. And I certainly wouldn't wear that red jacket, but you have to recognize that there are people who absolutely love the status that it brings them. So, and rich people buy them.
Look at that price. Hey? I mean, that is a little oasis of happy in a sea of dismay and despair. Wayne, there's another question for you specifically, saying you often speak about property shares being a good buy when their yield is higher than the government bond yield.
Yes.
Could you explain why? Because surely a property is riskier than a government bond and should have a higher yield.
Correct. That's entirely correct. But there's just one side of the equation that's not in that statement, is that your yield in a government bond doesn't grow, whereas your distributions over time grow. So in other words, on a pure, let's call it a pure risk discount rate, the discount rate should be higher than the government bond, but then you've got to, off that discount rate, you've got to subtract the growth that you expect from the distributions. So in other words, in my simplistic way of looking at it, they should trade slightly lower than government bonds. But up until 2 years ago, they were trading significantly lower than government bonds. So now trading above government bonds, effectively what they're saying is distributions are never going to grow again into perpetuity. Now, they might not grow the next year, they might not grow the next 2 years, but into perpetuity is a very long time for them never to grow again. Okay. So in other words, when you evaluate a share or a property or anything, any yield-based thing, you look at past trends. And if you look at past trends, it doesn't trade above the long bond yield often. And it is a buy signal. But on today's like today with the economy and everything, I mean, everything's going down.
Okay.
But generally, look, a lot of the better companies have got longer leases. And therefore, those increase in yields that Wayne's talking about are sometimes underpinned. You know, and you must always look, you know, when you analyze property companies, you always look at the lease book.
Extension of the lease.
You know, when it's up for renewal, what the chances, who your tenant is, and so on.
Because interesting now, in the property market, when you re-sign a lease, your lease drops 3% automatically. It's called a negative reversion. But there's still about 5% escalations in that lease that you sign.
So in other words, you sign an initial lease that's
minus 5, but then next year you get plus minus 3, then plus 5, then plus 5, then plus 5.
We used to have like 10% built in.
Well, it used to be way bigger.
Into leases,
Yeah, well, you know, also the days when you had interest rates of 24% at one stage. Advtech. With Curro, shocking results. Is Advtech short as well? Were there shocking results?
They weren't.
Curro underlying earnings.
Yeah, a 7% increase. So now,
and for a PE company like Curro, in the essentially, in theoretically, in a growth phase, these were not good results.
You look at Curro's share price, it's been adjusting for a number of months now, and it's come back off those very peaky heights that we saw. If you go and look, and that's really reflecting what's happened. If you listen to the interview before we came on, I know he's very optimistic and they're great businesses, but the worry is that they're not generating enough cash to self-fund their expansion.
And now they can't go to the market, can they?
But they can't go to the market with more rights.
They've got to cut back on expansion. They've just got to cut back on expansion and fill up the schools that they've got. I mean, conceptually, I still like this.
You know, that sort of breakneck expansion plan worked. Well, I suppose you had a market to support you, and you've got PSG, the shareholder, who I imagine would still support them if they were, if they need the cash.
Look, they can turn off the capex quickly. They don't need new capex to keep, producing.
They've got apparently 223 that they're going to expend, but I also read that they've got these projects of over a billion. Now they're not; they're not generating anywhere near that kind of money. And if you listen to the interview, it takes time for them to fill the classrooms. So
they're going to have to scale back on the capex and fill the classrooms.
Stadio has also got some very, very ambitious plans, in the Western Cape for a tertiary education institution.
Look, there's no shortage of demand of people. You want to go to affordable private schools, evaluating the alternative of a government school. There's no shortage of that. You're just going to make sure it is affordable.
And the government doesn't turn its beady eye onto private schools, for example, after healthcare.
You don't get an NHI for the private school sector.
Don't put it past them. Should this be the start of a major correction or even recession? What are your views on British American Tobacco during the period?
It should do reasonably well. It's very stable and it is certainly cheap. The valuations are incredibly low. So it'll fall, but it won't fall nearly as much as
other smoking's shoes. Addictive, so people are not going to give up regardless of where the economy is. They're turning to alternatives now, which has become the big thing. But they've held up far better than we thought they would.
As you would expect
them. Is that also because of where the rand has been in the last couple of weeks?
But it doesn't say for Anheuser-Busch, It's
If you look at British American Tobacco in the UK, it's done pretty well. And it's come back from some very low levels. So it's been one of the stable forces of our market. If it wasn't for British American Tobacco, the Anheuser-Busch's, the Richemont's and so on,
and gold shares,
we'd be looking a lot uglier than we are at the moment.
Yeah. Then the panel's view of Bidvest at these levels?
Bidvest does look cheap at these levels. But then lots of South African shares do.
But look,
whether it goes up or not will depend on what happens with Donald Trump and what happens in the SA economy. I mean, this current depression, make no mistake, is Donald Trump induced. This current last, I don't know, what can you call it, 3 weeks.
But they're well run. If you look back on the management of Bidvest, very, very well run. They've just taken a 50% share now in Adcock. They try to sell it. They're now going to try. Well, they've been turning it around. I don't think they're back to where they were. But in other words, the price that they paid for it. But management's good, but economy bad.
Yeah.
And they're in areas of the market that they can't really trade against where the economy is going. And they've got no offshore. The offshore is in Bidcorp.
It's Bidcorp, just on that, where does the team see fair value of the rand to the dollar? Can it get that much better? For example, South African government bonds are being sold off very heavily at the moment.
They're actually not. It's a bit of a mistake, but they're not. They're up about 0.5%, 0.7%. But in the bigger scheme of things, that's not a major all fall down sell-off. Same as the rand. I mean, the rand was at 15 not that long ago as well. And no one really worried too much about that. But so the rand, neither the rand nor bonds have collapsed. So I get a bit worried when people say the rand's collapsing. It's actually the rand's behaving very normally. The volatility of the rand's no different to what it's been in the past.
I mean, at least we don't have the Argentine
peso. It's not a 25.
No.
The 25 would be a proper collapse. 20 would be a proper collapse. 1540s were weakness, but it's not a collapse, all fall down, calamity, disaster. It could be. I mean, if Donald Trump goes full-scale trade wars, this rand's going to 18 at minimum. And then the bonds might even go to 11.
Well,
understand,
that's the
criteria. This rand's not collapsing here or the bond's going up because of what's happening in South Africa.
Although it doesn't help,
no matter how bad it is. This is a global story.
You don't know what Trump wants. He wants a weaker dollar and he wants a thriving economy and he wants trade wars.
And he wants a stock market.
And he wants the stock market booming. You can't have all of those things.
You have trade wars, you're going to get a stronger dollar because you're weakening your partner.
Obviously, his mum never said, Donald, you can't have all those toys. You can choose one.
Yeah, but just... on that, ultimately everyone, including Donald Trump, ultimately everyone actually answers to the market. Eh?
Mm. Yes, including South Africa, and that's hopefully right. Mr. Ramaphosa pays attention.
Yeah, ultimately everyone answers. Even Stalin had to answer to them.
He must have hated that. Can I buy into Capco and that
no.
now?
No, this is into Capco. Into Capco
and Brait.
Brait.
Those are the ugly sisters of the market.
I think if you had to choose one, I'd say Capco, yeah.
Capco, they're going to split it. They're going to put Covent Gardens out separately. That is truly a wonderful asset. And put up the chart for Into. These things, put up a two-year chart for Into. These things have been destroyed.
But I think, Capco... If you understand that it will be Covent Garden, I mean, it's still the UK is the UK has withstood how many world wars, how many other kind of invasions, and it's still.
Yeah. Okay, that's into you. I mean, so that's 2 years. If you go for a little bit further back, you'll see. That's pretty ugly, I have to say. So Capco might be worth.
Interesting. If you had to choose one of them,
Into's been hit by a few things.
And also changing retail behavior.
That's the big
which
one.
Is the,
is
that
going
the big
online
conundrum
has been
for them.
Hit them seriously.
So
it's not London. It's all over the place.
I haven't left you any time for stock picks because there are none. Because this is the time to batten down the hatches, put your cash into your mattress.
Pull the duvet over your head. It feels terrible at the time, but we've survived way worse than what's happened so far, and we're still here.
Hey, now it's time to watch Chelsea and Liverpool.
Okay. Hopefully Chelsea have a little bit of a comeback. David Wayne, thanks very much for joining us this evening. David Pierre from Sassman Securities, Wayne McCurry from F&B Wealth and Investments, and we'll be back with Stockwatch tomorrow night at 7:30. Have a good evening. I haven't left you any time for stock picks because there are none. Because this is the time to batten down the hatches, put your cash into your mattress.
Pull the duvet over your head. It feels terrible at the time, but we've survived way worse than what's happened so far, and we're still here.
Hey, now it's time to watch Chelsea and Liverpool.
Okay. Hopefully Chelsea have a little bit of a comeback. David Wayne, thanks very much for joining us this evening. David Pierre from Sassman Securities, Wayne McCurry from F&B Wealth and Investments, and we'll be back with Stockwatch tomorrow night at 7:30. Have a good evening.